Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we've got most of the regular crew around. Adam.
Hello.
And Kevin running the lab.
And I have a coffee in my hand. Best way to start a Friday.
Sounds dangerous. Tom is off at Timberline in Mount Hood today. He couldn't be bothered to join us on a decent sounding line. So screw you, Tom. Anyway, let's get going. We had quite a bit going on this week, mostly from my selfish perspective. I was out in Boston all week visiting with a number of friends and companies out there. We talked about one of them upcoming last time. I started off with Wasabi. We've covered them before in the news, right, Adam?
And this week, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did a... it's funny, because we were sitting there talking about their partners and expanding their channel ecosystem and that whole thing, and I brought up some of the NAS guys we work with, and they said, oh, yeah, we just did a thing with QNAP, and just a few hours later, we get the alert. So what do they... They've got an integration with QNAP's QTS?
Yeah, it integrates with... three of their systems, HP3, HyperRack, I think, HyperMount, and another one. It's a zero-tier or no-tier cloud storage, so it's more cost-effective and higher performing without having to tier everything. Or that's their main selling point. They claim it's one-fifth the cost of S3.
They do claim that.
And it's S3 compatible.
It does talk S3, and as we've discussed with Wasabi before, they're extremely cost-effective. And one of the things that I picked up on in chatting with them earlier this week is that they're doing it without the unpredictability of ingress, egress fees and other things that tend to add up and make the cloud more expensive. I still don't know exactly how they're doing it, how they're maintaining cost control so tightly. And it sounds like they're working on continuing to expand their footprint. They've got more partners, as I said. They've got a lot going on. So anyone that's thinking about using the cloud as a backup target, as just a low-cost repository, definitely should be looking at Wasabi as part of that. While we're talking about backup, Veeam had a little thing go down this week.
Yeah, so sold for $5 billion off to is it Insight Partners or?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Kevin, I know you were monitoring some of the Reddit conversation there. What's the pulse of?
So a lot IT? Of people are concerned. Veeam has a lot of very impressive free offerings that kind
the
of go
endpoint.
That work. Hand-in-hand with their primary solutions. And because they're known for backing up virtualization products. And a couple of years ago, they came out with their endpoint client for backing up physical systems, which up until this point has been free. And then they've been really good with NFR licenses into the home lab communities, guys that kind of like, hey, I'm using this in the office place. I want to figure out how to do some more corner case things and see how it operates in a different environment. And when companies sell or go from private to public, there's always this huge concern around how will things be changed for monetary purposes. And free offerings are generally one of the first things that end up getting cut. So there's a lot of concern there.
Yeah, I know Rick Vanover was on Twitter yesterday. He's our buddy from Columbus, my preschool buddy, which...
daycare.
Well, preschool daycare. Yeah, little Ricky, as he was known at back then. Yeah, he was out tweeting and talking about, you know, we're not expecting anything to change. And there'll be some time before anything significant happens. But, yeah, it's a logical step forward for the company. That venture firm has the ability to pull in some other products and other resources.
I'm not sure. This is them pushing into their Act 2, Veeam Act 2, which is to spread and scale. And the way they've spread and scaled so far is through their free offerings. I mean, that was what kind of put them on the map 2007 or 8 when they first released the...
Well, certainly at the low end. And then they've got the enterprise market too, right? So they want to go after the larger companies.
Yeah, but I think they're going to keep up offering something free, get the hook in, and then
Well, yeah. It's been a useful sort of land and expand methodology.
They're
for
one
them.
Of the largest private companies, I believe. A billion in sales, 4,000-ish employees.
Well, they always have the chart that amongst enterprise software or software companies in general, that they're right up there with the scalability and speed of like VMware and some of the other big boys that Salesforce and that have done that in the past. The other interesting thing about I didn't visit with Veeam, but thinking about backup companies, I did go visit with Zerto in Boston as well. This everyone that backs up is in Boston. Unitrends is there. I didn't see them, but Actifio. I couldn't visit with them, but I visited with their agency.
Well, there are a lot of storage companies out there. I mean, that was the original landing point for Equalogic and Compellent, and
definitely
40 other companies that were in that same building.
Well, the one up in Nashua.
Yeah,
yeah. Actifio met with their agency, couldn't quite get to the company. It sounds like they're doing some good things. I know we talked about the IT press tour. You saw them out there recently.
Tennessee is their latest announcement.
Latest
containers and
well, they're making a nice pivot off the copy data management thing because that was their main concept years ago, and now they've moved on to a more comprehensive story.
Yeah,
yeah. Their agency that does a lot of branding was picking on me directly because I was there about our logo because we still have the actuator arms on the disc. And I just happened to be able to produce a couple of those campfire mugs that we have that have the new logo on it. And they were really happy that it was modernized, but still had a little bit of homage to the hard drive logo. We are fighting mightily to get the new brand up on the website and actually reskin the site and do some other things. So that's in process. So yeah, met with the Actifio guys. That was pretty cool. Met with Zerto. Zerto does a fun thing. So if you ever go visit them, make sure you go on a Monday through Thursday around lunchtime. They do lunch in the office. And they had a Greek, I guess. They had hummus and chicken and falafel and the salad and all sorts of things. And
so Zerto's going to fly me out there for lunch.
Are we going to be adding a chef to our lunch?
All right, everyone just slow the hell down. No, we're not adding lunch, although today's pizza day, our one that's good true. Benefit of...
Well, it's not slow. Pounds and pounds of couscous.
No, but it is pizza. And that was the thing. So the guy was really cool. And the company they had in catering, it seemed like they knew what was up. But the guy goes, "You want couscous?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And he put probably 7 pounds of couscous on the plate. Is it a rice?
Yeah, similar to rice. Okay. Their productivity must drop off after lunch.
So yeah, well, no, it's before lunch because we were in this little conference room in a main hallway that goes into their break room, and you could start to hear it like 11:45 with people queuing up and getting ready there, and then the steady stream of people. But they don't leave and go home to go get lunch or go to, Subway or whatever.
They go back to their desk and fall asleep
full of couscous and chicken. But no, they've got a cool office. It was neat to visit with their team because I know Kevin's done ZertoCon this past summer, and maybe you've done it even more than once. Or Adam has. I've never been, so it was good.
It was a very focused event. It wasn't the largest event, but everything was highly focused.
Well, I get that notion from them too, where they have a pretty solid idea on what they want to do, how they want to do it, and they understand who they are. So they've been expanding their backup products. They've got a nice cloud story they're putting together, and they're getting past just the data migration, which I think was their biggest success to this point. So that was great. I visited with the Dell storage team out in Hopkinton. Talked hyperconvergence, converged infrastructure, talked a lot about Power1, talked about some of their upcoming stuff for May for Dell Tech World, which we can't cover here yet, but they've got a lot going on there, which is exciting. So we'll see many more things coming from them over the next couple weeks all the way into the beginning of May. So it was funny because I actually rented a car from, I stayed in the city. Oh gosh.
Was it a Dodge Dart?
No, the car was fine, but I had the worst experience. I don't know which one of these stupid experiences to give you first. So I rented a car from stayed at the Westin in Back Bay because they had a little Hertz guy there and didn't want to have to pay for parking, but only needed the car once to go out to Hopkinton and do a couple things outside the city. So go out there, have the meetings, everything's great. Coming back and you have to do the whole thing of where do I get gas? And in Boston, because we've done this before.
Yeah, it's not a fun approach going back to Logan.
All right, so I know, yeah, well, I didn't have to go that far, but I know how to do this now. The last time you and I got a car, Kevin, I think I had a high degree of confidence that we would find gas, never did, and just ate the $8.99 a gallon thing on return. Yeah, that sucked. So I was not going to let that happen this time. So they've got a spot going back into the city that's off the highway, like a rest stop.
It's now, are you allowed to pump your own gas there?
Yeah. Not like that was New Hampshire where you're not allowed.
Yeah, it was strange.
You can't touch the pump. But yeah, it's like a Shell station or whatever, and then there's a McDonald's and other stuff. But you don't have to go get off the highway and drive around. So it's really convenient. But looking at Waze, it was still, I think, like 12 or 13 miles away from where I was dropping off the car. And so I'm pumping up the gas, and I only need to put in 3 gallons or whatever. But then you start like squeezing it a little bit more because you want to get it all the way full because I don't want to pay it's now $9.99 a gallon penalty. And I'm just looking around because it's kind of a cool day, just looking around, thinking about things. I'm grabbing the trigger to get a little more gas in there. I'm like, man, this thing's taking a lot of gas. I put in like another, I'd looked over to the screen, put in like another third of a gallon. And then I realized the gas is just pouring out on the ground down the side of the car. And I wasn't paying any attention at all. And I'm just dumping gas.
This is why you shouldn't be allowed to pump your own gas near Boston.
See, New Hampshire knows what's up because they know people are morons like that and trying to fill the tank with gas. And oh my gosh, it was pretty special.
Did you clean your windshield with the washer nozzle that was next to the
car?
Yeah,
was that Zoolander when they have the gas fight?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So that was awesome. I thought for sure, because it smelled like gas in the car, that it was either going to explode or that gas was all over me. But you know, I lived through it. The other fun thing was Monday night at that at the hotel. It's like 12 o'clock midnight Monday night, and you know how it is in the hotels. You hear some clanging around and banging, and I'm guessing 3 or 4 dudes came in to the room next to mine, and they were just so loud,
dressed in knight's armor. They were practicing for? Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, as full metal? No, they were not in body armor, but they were extremely loud. It was absolutely miserable. And it just seemed like, you don't have to see them, just hear them. In your mind, just picture 4 Boston bros with shaved heads and probably extremely drunk. And that's who was next to my room. And it's got, you know, it's one of those joining rooms with the doors. And so I'm like, oh, gosh, this is miserable. So I waited a little bit, hoping they would go to bed and just be quiet. And there was no signs of it stopping. So I got up and I'm about to do the manly thing. I'm about ready to knock on the door in between and start screaming at these bastards to go to sleep. And right before I did that, I decided to call the hotel operator instead and have them send up security because I didn't want to tangle these drunk assholes. Anyway, so they come up, knock on the door, tell them to shut up, and I continue on my train to Sleepy Town. And 8 minutes later, they start cranking up again and just screaming at the top of their lungs. I don't know what they were doing in there, but it was miserable. So I ended up calling, having them get me a new room, and I left the scene. But who's up at 12:30 on a Monday night?
So the last time this happened to me, it was probably like every 20 or 30 seconds I heard a door shut, and it was like people going from like room to room down this one hallway.
That's nice.
Well, yeah, so I called in. I was like, what's going on? They tried to get him to quiet down, and then it just continued on and on. I eventually moved it to a different room, and I found out later on that there was a funeral, and it was the kids trying to like go between different rooms with like the parents, and I felt kind of shitty after that.
Wait, there was a funeral in the hotel room at night?
No.
That would be weird.
Well, it was like that weekend or something, and they were in, it was everyone was in town, and everyone was trying to like talk to the other family members. but they couldn't just stay in one room.
So I wisely, after I got rid of the car, continued with Uber the rest of the way. I have been frustrated by my Uber rating. Do you know what your Uber ratings are?
I think mine's 4.8.
All right, pull it. Oh, good. Pull it up. I want to see.
Mine's fairly good.
I had had an issue where, for whatever reason, mine had...
Mine is 4.85.
4.89.
4.9. Suck it, both of you. Adam, you're 4.85?
Yeah.
Wow. What have you... You take a lot of Uber, too. You must have done something.
I don't always tip. I think that's why I get that low.
They don't know, I don't think, about that, do they?
I don't know, because when the tip thing started, I went from like 4.9 down to... And it just kept going down. Cause...
I don't think there's a huge difference if you're like 0.2 down from the top. I think it's more of like if you're like 4, like you're the dude that's barking.
Well, if you're a 4, they're not going to pick you up, or you're going to get the shittiest Uber drivers on the planet.
So the last experience I had with Uber... arrived back to CVG. It must have been the time everyone else arrived. And the fare that's normally like $30 to go from CVG back to our town was $90 with surge.
Triple surge.
And I quickly went over to...
Recently.
Yeah.
So I went over to Lyft, and the Lyft side hadn't activated surge yet. And because most of those drivers drive for both services...
Yes, arbitrage for the
win. It took like 15 minutes, and I got someone who was his first night, and he had no idea what he was doing.
Yes, that's because you're a 4.89 and you suck. Well, I am a 4.9, good sir.
Well, no, because I wasn't going to participate in surge by going over to Lyft, and everyone else was going to get the $90 fare.
Well, but that's why you got the new guy on Lyft, because you're... What's your Lyft rating? I don't even know, because I don't use it. I assume they have ratings, too.
It's because every other driver that was over there wasn't operating on Lyft, because Lyft wasn't doing surge. It was only Uber.
Yeah, they only wanted to be on the XXX version. Yeah, well, anyway, I was really happy to get my 4.89 up to 4.90. And I will endeavor to keep this thing writing, because I would be really sad with myself if I had a 4.85.
Like, I know, it's bad. I don't know what I'd do.
It's not tipping, because they don't know, I don't think.
I'm polite. I usually get my own luggage. I don't know what the... One time I had an Uber in New York City, and the guy picked me up, and it was a fairly short trip and for the Dell IoT thing, and there was a parade that day. So for the little bit of charge, Uber charge, we sat in the car for like 2 hours.
That's not your fault exactly, but no, I've been to Manhattan for during parades before, and it is absolutely miserable.
He's like, I'll drive up around the park, and that just made it worse.
The other one of the other meetings I had was with Haiku, who I know we've covered a lot lately. They started out on Nutanix as primary backup there, and now they've expanded to some cloud offerings. They could very well be the first podcast sponsor, because they sent me back with a smockish, it's an apron, I guess, but it looks a little more metal worker.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a foundry worker, or blacksmith type of apron.
So Kevin donned the blacksmith apron and became our first lab chef, which is very exciting. So we...
SpaghettiOs and...
Oh, don't get me started on that. So for now, Haiku can be the sponsor of this particular podcast. Haiku, protecting your data, cloud to Nutanix, wherever it resides. And Kevin will, I'll put up the picture. I put it on Instagram, but I'll put it on the podcast as well, of Kevin donning that in the downstairs lab. While I was in Boston, things were happening in Las Vegas. I'm so happy to not have been at CES. It's such a miserable time. After doing it for at least a decade. There was a lot of consumer or end user news, I assume, Adam, out of that.
There was a lot. We didn't cover a lot because a lot of it's not relevant. I mean...
Yeah, a lot of small things.
Consoles too, right? Changing their logos and movies and refrigerators.
Oh, I saw that PS5 news.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me. All they did was drop the new logo?
Yeah.
To a collective
groan? I mean, they've announced different...
It's like shocking. It is a PS5, no longer a PS4.
Well, maybe that's pretty low. Not a 4.1.
Their argument could be that they don't have to release confusing naming like Xbox does every year. So, it was Xbox One, One S. Well, it was Xbox 360, Xbox One...
But who Xbox cares? I mean, the lifespan of these things is, what, 3 years, right, for a console? Something like that?
Pretty much, something like that.
But everyone calls it Xbox.
Yeah.
Like, the brand, the version doesn't matter that much.
Not anymore.
But how many people are going to be like, oh, I've got PlayStation, or no, is it a 5, a 4? I mean, I guess for a little while there'll be some of that.
Next year, I mean, well, eventually, the first part of this year, maybe.
Wait, all the games are going to migrate on. It's either you're either going to be playing the old version, or you're going to be playing through friends or not. And you're going to upgrade if you want to continue playing.
Oh, yeah, I wish I had friends. Exactly. That's a funny concept. That's why I play
friends.
Yeah, that's why I play iOS games. So
you're
I can
playing
have
Skyrim instead of Elder Scrolls Online because you don't need friends.
All right, so I know something happened because Seagate always has news, and most of the consumer tech guys have something.
Well, Micron announced that they're sampling DDR5, the new RAM.
Yeah.
Which Micron talked that it's 85% increase in performance, near double the density. I think Samsung's announced DDR5 earlier last year. We haven't seen it yet. It's out there. Some OEMs have it.
They always do that, though. They just take the clock speed and whatever that difference is, you know, make their performance numbers off of that.
But yeah, they always a caveat of up to.
Right. You know, we'll have to see if systems actually use it and take advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, their big selling point, too, is all the new cores can take advantage of the new RAM as well. All
right.
So we'll have to see on that. Seagate made a few announcements. They released two gaming drives, FireCuda, which is an NVMe, and Barracuda, which is SATA.
Right.
The FireCuda goes up to 2 gigabytes per second and up to 2 terabytes. The Barracuda is also 2 terabytes, up to 540 megabytes per second. I mean, it really depends on your system and what you're looking to gain out of it.
We have those in for review, yeah?
No. Seagate has done this strange thing where they just send me these automated press releases instead of a PR person.
I know they sampled them to some. Seagate kind of hosed us on this one. What was the other thing? Their new drive system?
On the enterprise side, they have a live drive mobile system that is set to activate your data sphere. I think you have to say it like that.
Yeah. Oh, we need like an echo reverb sound effect.
This is a modular mobile storage system that goes from these 1 terabyte CFast cards all the way up to a 4U rack mount receiver.
It's mostly going to be for media and entertainment folks, I would imagine, content creators.
Yes, the release had such little information. I was like going through the slide deck and trying to figure out what exactly. I mean, are you taking data from these cards and actually moving it, physically carrying it somewhere?
That's what it sounds like. And, you know, that's not, I mean, that is a motion, a work process in content creation. I remember back in the early days of Fusion.io when they were doing offloads from those red cameras and other things.
Yeah, that's when they had the IOFX, and it was suitcases.
Yeah,
and
slam them into suitcases.
Yeah.
And ship them around the world.
These all have nice little handles and stuff. So
yeah, I see that it has nice little handles, although the first comment we got in our Reddit was from EasyRhino75, sounds like a lame nightclub. Live drive. It does kind of sound.
There
like
are
that.
Vendors still leveraging that. You move on to like Blackmagic's professional camera line for video, and it's USB-C out. And while you can record to compact flash or SD, the main way of recording is raw stream out and dump it in real time onto a drive.
Yeah, physically moving data is not unheard of, and it's pretty common actually, but.
Yeah, those big heavy files from media.
Yeah, you get a lot of traction, I think.
Does a hard drive get heavier the more data you put on it?
It does. You can't tell a lot. It's kind of like when you have you buy a mattress. It starts out at like 100 pounds, but after you've used it for 10 years.
I thought that's dead skin cells and bed bugs, though.
Yeah, it's dead skin cells, bed bugs, body fluids, and now your mattress.
That's what I put on my hard drive.
Put skin cells?
Yeah.
And make it go faster. Yeah, well, hard drives work the same way. The more data you put on there, especially if it's a big sequential file, that totally makes it
heavier.
Has
there been studies on this? I mean,
no.
There can be when Seagate sends us this live drive mobile setup.
Yeah, we'll see about that. What else you got, Adam?
SK Hynix released two new NVMe SSDs, the Platinum P31 and the Gold P31.
Which one's faster?
They're the same speed, actually.
Wait, well, what's the Platinum?
Platinum is their flagship, is the way they worded it, and Gold is their mainstream.
Well, they can't. One has to be faster. Platinum's got to be
both
faster.
3.5 gigabytes per second read, 3.2 write. And Platinum's larger, 2 terabytes. Gold only goes
up
to 1.
So it's a capacity play, then.
Capacity and endurance, then. Gold has lower endurance.
Yeah, they're both M.2. And
I really hope the box art we have in that article is real, because if they ship it with that sort of crystal thing on top.
Yeah, it's pretty looking.
Yeah. And the drive stickers. I mean, we never see anything actually shipped that looks like the renderings for the press releases.
True XPG always comes through with our ADATA.
Yeah. What else you got?
Samsung released the T7 Touch. It's a portable SSD that goes up to 2 terabytes, speeds up to 1.05 gigabytes per second, and it has a fingerprint sensor for security.
So they've always done a really great job on their portable drives. I mean, we've seen them forever, the T5, T3, whatever was before that. And they're always small and tight. Or they have, what's the Thunderbolt 3 one? They have X5? Is that what that is?
5X, I believe, the red one?
Yeah, the red one. That thing was super fast. It was very expensive, but it was fast. This is more mainstream with fingerprint security. It's just for access, I suppose, then.
Yeah, they also are going to release a non-fingerprint one in the coming months. So if you don't want to spend the extra for security. I mean, if you just want a really fast portable drive, Samsung's the way to go, usually. I mean, it comes at a premium, but it's if you need it, you need it.
Well, yeah, they always look nice. They're skinny, drop it in a pocket. You know it's well-built.
Yeah, they always hit their claims or at least come
pretty close. Yeah, their performance numbers are consistently at the top of the pack. Yeah, well, I'm so happy to not have been at...
But wait, there's more.
Oh, no, you're still going?
We haven't covered it quite yet, Christmas. But there's a couple others that were relevant to us. HyperX used to be part of Kingston. I don't know if they're part of them anymore. I don't know if Kingston...
I think they spun out.
They spun that brand out.
They have new DDR4 RAM, which probably aimed at gaming, because that's what HyperX does.
It has lights, I assume?
There's no pictures, so I don't know. Right. It's aimed at the new Intel and AMD platforms. 3600 megahertz and 3733 megahertz frequencies.
All right.
8 and 16 gig modules. Pluggable has released a new dock since we've looked at a lot of those docks.
That's your new best friend. You and Kevin are all over the pluggable stuff.
Well, this one, you can do either 2 display ports or 2 HDMI ports. They're right next to each other. There's 7 USB ports, 1 Thunderbolt port, SD card slot, micro SD card slot, and a gigabit Ethernet port. So
I need to find a reason
$300
to need all those ports. I am not productive enough. I don't need any ports.
It's not as fancy as the OWC, I think. I mean, it has more display ports going out of it, but...
All right. Who would have thought we'd see more innovation on docks?
And the Fizon and Inmatas, sorry if I'm butchering your names, but I've never heard of you until recently. They've released the MI Drive, which combines SLC and QLC onto the same NVMe device, which is similar to what Intel has done in the past.
Yeah, Fizon's a controller guy. I think they're probably just looking for ways, like everyone is, to get the economics and capacity of QLC.
Yeah, that's their selling point.
But because it has a performance profile that needs to be managed.
We would talk about it more, but they didn't give a whole lot of information other than it's a more cost-effective way to leverage a higher speed and get the capacity through QLC.
Yeah, that sounds about right. They're not the greatest communicators.
Well, they had 700 words of quotes talking about how awesome they are, but none of the quotes were actually giving me any facts. So.
Classic. Speaking of communicate, I've got to communicate with you on something.
What about cost-effective?
No. It's about movie selection. So Adam is a master of obscure movies and television shows.
Like weird.
Weird things, yeah. And in fact, maybe we should start an Adam's movie corner on the podcast. You can give one recommendation each week, and then we'll talk about it the following week. I took you up on your recommendation of Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah, I love that flick.
Oh my gosh.
It's brutal, so don't watch it with your kids.
No. So funny story. Set it up. Like, what's the general gist of it?
It takes place in the 1800s. Russell.
It's a Western.
Is basically playing the same Wyatt Earp character, much older and more grizzled.
Yeah.
Who shoots people in the legs when he has a disagreement with him. Cannibal indigenous people kidnap some people in the town, and they basically go to save them.
Okay. So great setup. Yeah. That's how you sold it to me. And so it's streaming. It's free on Amazon, I think, right now. Anyway, so I'm watching it. And the movie's a little over 2 hours. It's not short, but it's
all of his movies are quite long.
Who's the guy? I don't know.
I would have to look it up. I don't know his name offhand, but he makes some excellent films.
All right, anyway, so watching the movie. And for about an hour and a half, it's a pretty standard Western. Someone, as you say, someone gets captured. They get together some people, and then they go try to save the day. The last 35 minutes is a non-standard Western movie that is absolutely unreal.
It may be considered horror at that point.
It's pretty close. So I'm watching it the other night, and my 16-year-old walks in.
Yeah, that's bad.
Right, but you know where he walks in? Because there's only there's one really bad spot to walk in.
Getting ready to eat the guy?
Don't ruin it. Anyway, but yeah, when there's some carving going on, and it's absolutely brutal. I would say it is a good movie.
Brawl on Sublock 99 should be your next. It's his next film after that.
All right, what is this?
Brawl on Sublock 99. Vince Vaughn's in it. It's a movie about a retired boxer it's a character study. He is just filled with violence, but doesn't show it around other people. And basically, he ends up in prison for doing the right thing in a bus gone bad. And he has to keep escalating his prison to worse and worse prison cells to try to save his wife. So,
Brawl on Cell Block 99. Oh, Brawl in Cell Block.
Yeah.
2017, 2 hours, 12 minutes, another long one.
It is also hyper-violent. Same. The director directs it, cinematography.
Greg Zoller,
yeah.
Director.
He does the music. He's kind of a perfectionist. And he gets these big-name actors to be in these movies for practically nothing. If you look at their budgets are really small.
Vince Vaughn is a bald man in this movie.
Yep.
91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And a warning,
that's
it
pretty
is
strong.
Incredibly violent.
Yeah, I get the gist of that from Adam's Movie Corner, is that tends to be...
These are good movies.
Very violent.
Kurt Russell was fantastic.
Box office, $7,144.
That sounds about right, yeah.
That's not millions.
These are art house films, so...
$7,000?
Mm-hmm. Probably only open in one theater.
Yeah, well, that would make sense. All right, Brawl in Cell Block 99. Do you know if it's streaming anywhere?
It was on Amazon.
All right, I'll check it out. And I will... I need to put up a screen in my... So I normally watch this upstairs and would an extra room that we converted to actually make it something nice and usable. But basically, it's now where I watch TV at night with a dog. But it's right on the kids' hallway. And so kids will just show up and pop in. But I need like a light or something, a warning of some sort, so that they know to like make some noise first before they walk straight in. Not like it's porn or anything, but just, you know, it could be highly offensive materials.
This one is violent pretty much throughout. It has like long bursts of drama followed by just intense, incredible violence.
Oh, great. So, that'd be a good one to watch at the gym on the elliptical or something as people walk by.
You're just doing easy, then the violence starts. And start
you
get
running
really
for
fast.
Your life. All right, so we've got that. The other thing is The Witcher. I started watching that. Netflix is beating me over the head to watch this thing. Emails, pop-up alerts. Did you guys check that out yet?
I've seen about half of the first episode. Haven't really gotten into it yet.
I'm 3 deep. Did you start?
I played the third game and enjoyed it, but...
Is it a video game?
Yeah, video game is a book series.
Yeah, I know. So I had no idea. I just knew it was the new show on Netflix and was checking it out, and people seem to be really liking it, especially the song. Have you heard the song?
No.
It's like toss a coin to your Witcher, but it's a pretty brutal song.
It was a brutal game. I don't know that.
All right. Well, I feel committed to stick with it because of all the hubbub around it, but for as much as you hate Baby Yoda, I might hate The Witcher equally as much.
I don't know. There's a lot. Have you seen the video of the guy punching Baby Yoda to Toto's Africa?
Oh, no.
On YouTube. It's fantastic. He just punches him every time the beat drops. Poom, poom.
No, but we had a Yoda...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, right. A Baby Yoda thing. Kevin, you sent me yesterday.
Yeah, it was after Skyline's... Skyline has a particular way of doing chili. You can get in a different number of ways. And,
it's made
it's
out
just,
of Baby Yodas.
This is the three-way. This is the way.
Yes, this is a way hook. That was pretty creative. You you went to Skyline today this week while I was gone, yeah?
Yeah, we deployed the Cumulo guys were in, and we had a surprisingly easy deployment. Usually it's easy to deploy, and then it's like 3 hours later, someone's still like hacking away at it, and you're like, hey, I thought it was easy to deploy. Yeah, it's usually pretty easy.
Yeah, unless the networking's broken.
Yeah, we powered it on, and everything discovered itself. We made some... The only additional time we added into it is we were tweaking our networking to kind of optimize some things for it. But right off the bat, it was discovering we have a five-node deployment. We're operating on a our 2550 100 gig network. We're using two 25 gig ports per node with LACP, and everything saw each other. It uses IPv6 for its discovery layer, and then automatically manages its back and front end. But we had it up and running, and afterwards stopped out at lunch at our favorite local Cincinnati joint. Although I am tempted to one day move in, try and go to the dark side in Cincinnati.
No, don't even say it.
Gold Star.
Don't even say it. Well, you're from Kentucky. You're kind of a Gold Star sort of region.
Yeah, we had more down there at one time. They're about equal now.
There's not even a conversation, if you ask me, but... we'll see. What else is going on in the lab, if anything? It's a little quiet right now, huh?
Yes, we have Formulas Black. We're wrapping up. We wrapped up our database test and moving on to synthetic.
We did post that deep dive yesterday, too. So for anyone that wants to know more about that, and if you want to learn what a LEM is, L-E-M, we have a detailed write-up on the background there. But you're, like you said, you're close on wrapping performance.
Yeah, it's been a fun project.
Yeah, it's neat to see persistent memory working in a way where more applications can take advantage of it.
Yeah.
So that's good. We have a little bit of travel coming up, but not too much. It's a little quiet. While I was taking notes on travel, though, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shows in May that I know of already.
Two at the same time.
Actually, four.
Four at the same time.
There's two at the same time and then two more at the same time.
Ugh.
But I just found out from Zerto, I don't know if they've reached out yet, but they're doing their conference in May as well.
Why?
Down in Lauderdale. Everything's in May because sales kickoffs are January and February, and then March, April, May is when they get going on events and sales, you know, sales motion. So there's that. Kevin will be in Nashville again at the end of January for iGels event. We're keeping looking at the thin clients and doing all the fun things there from
in that Tesla
workload. You got a Tesla?
What they had the giveaway.
Oh.
A Tesla.
But they don't really give it, isn't it? Don't you get it just as a lease for a year or something?
I don't know. I don't know who won that. It was a long time because I went to several shows and it was a feature. They would have a red Tesla there, even though yellow is their color.
Maybe they never gave it away.
Maybe the owner just owns it.
So we'll be back though next week on a regular schedule with the podcast. And if you want to reach out and talk to us, find us via email info@storagereview.com. On Twitter and Instagram @StorageReview if you want to see Kevin's beautiful Chef Kevin picture. And our new subreddit, /r/StorageReview, is gaining a lot of momentum. So come join us there. And until next time, thanks. Bye-bye.